Morning, everyone.
The oddities of the day have struck us, seriously. So, I mean, if you want to go out and be entertained by the car, they think they got it up on the definality. I think they're clearing it out for us. A little side note, run aside here. I don't know if you guys know anything about horses, but if you don't ride them all the time, it'll start pulling at the reins, and it's really hard to control, so you have to ride it every day and stay on top of it. And I can only hope that today I don't pull at the reins too much for you guys and try to carry you someplace. Keith is away today, and first note that I bring to mind here would probably be he will feel it's for him. It's actually trying to get somewhere. But I'm going to start with the verse that we had today and start with Galatians 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Everything in this little section starts there. It begins with a sense of humility and the way in which you come to any problem. We saw in an earlier chapter that they'll lay out the problems for you. It's a long, horrible list concerning sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. They're talking about the church there. That's not even getting to the good stuff. They can go really bad. The church members are who he's talking to. If we continue down that path, there's really nothing that can't be considered possibly something you would run into in the church. Basically, in the history that you're running up to, these guys are dealing with baggage in the existing locations and from baggage that they were bringing with them. Laws that were there already and laws that were behind them that they said, oh, you've got to do this or else. Hebrew provincialism and their methodologies had kind of set them in an inescapable environment. The city was growing and a strife, a conflict that occurred between that had been there from the beginning, basically discussing the difference between a nomadic herder lifestyle and an agricultural city lifestyle. And they were arguing about which is right and who had the power and what should be good and what should be called good. And once it became industrialized, more urban, there was an ongoing conflict where the people in the cities were taking power away from the average person. The average person was then struck with how they couldn't do any business. They couldn't go forward. They couldn't go into the city without making offerings. It was going to cost them something. They had to pay. And, of course, Romans loved this. With a few extra well-placed laws, they were able to capitalize on all of the money that was going through the city. It was a cash cow, and they loved it. The faith that Jesus was talking about really upset the apple cart. He went in and directly assaulted both the power and the income of the Romans and the Hebrews. He eventually pays the ultimate price for this. And so there you're into the churches. The churches start growing, and they have the same fight. So they're a microcosm. And so they have to come in and have this discussion. Paul says, don't do this. Don't burden these people with the law that you just got clear of. I mean, Jesus came for a reason. He said, you can be free to worship, and you don't have to have all of these legalistic burdensome methods to get to God. Paul comes in and strikes down the people that were bringing in the burdens. The churches are growing, and eventually they lay down everything that could be considered bad. And even in that moment, they've started becoming worried about how that you could have a list of things that you couldn't do or couldn't do. So he goes in and speaks to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians, he had just gotten finished shredding. And it sounds terrible, but he had to do this in a way that item by item, said, and watch out for this, because I'm here. This is what's being done. Watch out for that. And it was everything from some sexual immorality to just how you treat people who are caught up in the current system. For instance, eating food that was offered to other gods. If you worked in a temple or worked there, you could be chastised for this. Even though, according to our own scripture, there were no other gods. And he kind of took a light look at it and said, you can eat that food because it's just food. But don't ever do anything to push aside, to lead astray a believer, somebody who might be weaker in the faith. So, moving forward, they would go to the cities and they would preach this word. And once they got to Galatia, once he wrote those letters, he's fresh off of just tearing into the Corinthians pretty good. So he comes up with a smaller, more condensed message. It seems to be a little bit lighter and really quite comfortable. He goes through and he says, after having gone through the list of things that could potentially go bad, he says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. In Corinthians, he had just gotten finished discussing some of these very concepts. He says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I have not been an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. He's describing to you the path by which he is going to come to you. He then goes on to explain the workload that he's been put under, and then why he does the work. Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right not to work for a living? As a pastor, you could potentially get paid or be taken care of by your flock. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, it gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I might present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. What's being said here is that he just wants to be in the Spirit. He just wants to give you the message and give it to you as purely as humanly possible. He doesn't want to have anything stand between you and what you might do with that message. Goes on to say in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For God has not destined us for wrath. This is 1 Thessalonians 5. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. There was no end of the people. I mean, it's not as if it's changed. There's no end to the people who are prepared to try to gain authority or position in a church, in a city. It doesn't matter where you are. Some part of me thinks it's a part of human nature to strive for, you know, competition and comparison. We'll get to that point a little bit later. But the point is, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be there for one another. You're supposed to lend strength to one another. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 4, Russia. Who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from you, listening to the truth, and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I've read through a lot of this in this particular lesson, and the bottom line is that when he says rebuke, when he says reprove, when he says restore him in a spirit of gentleness, he means your ministry. He means continue preaching, continue teaching, and be there for them. Put on then, Colossians 3:12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The teachers in that day were actually the elders, usually the first people that returned to the faith, and the apostles kind of did a cycle. They would go around from city to city, and they were mailing letters from these other cities to the other cities, constantly trying to stay in communication, trying to stay supportive, letting these people know that they weren't idols all by themselves. They went to one another, and they would discuss things with one another, and at the end of the day, nothing was off topic. I mean, nothing was unavailable. You could discuss it, and no one was going to get bent out of shape because we were all here for one another. You could believe that whoever said something to you, they had your best at heart. They wanted you to go somewhere and do something for God. Moving on to Galatians 4. But let each one of you test his own work. Then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Actually, it took me a little work to figure it out. The boasting in himself alone means that you're doing your comparison to Christ. You're not, the entirety of your contest, the entirety of your will and your strength, your personal challenge, is to be more like Christ. Not that you can ever attain that necessarily, but to challenge yourself to every day to live and to walk that walk. When Christ put down the message and said, love one another, and then he went down the list of the biblical Mosaic laws and said, and don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this, and don't do that, he said, love catches it all. Because if you're going to love your neighbor, you're not going to do any of these things. At the end of the day, you've got only yourself to blame for you. But when you do that comparison to Christ, and you take measure of yourself, and you find that that there might be something wanting, if you do a critical eye in your own life, then that's a good thing. If you do that and say, Brandon, he's doing great, and I'm just not sure if I'm measuring up. First of all, you've missed the boat because Brandon's not doing great. Brandon's doing his own walk. Brandon's taking his own steps. And secondly, if that's your mark, you're aiming low. I'm telling you, I can't tell you to use me as a guidepost. When we compare to one another, we're making a mistake. Therein lies the introduction of envy, divisions, lust, any number of sins that can't possibly be counted as unifying. And as one body with individual ideas and individual concepts, you're going to run into differences. So continue to have a spiritual approach and a loving heart to your neighbor. 1 Corinthians 9:24-7. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You can say him there, but you should. Keep it to you. Your faith should be measured against Christ, and should be, and you should be constantly challenging yourself to take that step that calls you to evangelism and ministry. Whether it be your friend, your neighbors, or to an unknown host. These men went among people that were not thrilled to see them. I mean, just to borrow a little bit of what Jesse said, the Christians were named Christians in Antioch. Antioch was basically a staging point. It was far enough away that they could call it foreign, but close enough that they could say they kind of had an idea of what the culture was like. And a fairly large and thriving church there at what was a trading point. Lots of languages, lots of influences. And you can almost hear the argument that was occurring between the locals and the actual people that were going there, spreading the word. I mean, you can imagine he might have sounded like a dock worker or something. But he was angry. He didn't want to pay any more taxes, and he was tired of the crowds, and he wanted somebody to explain where these hordes of people were coming. All the other armies just went through. This army just came and stayed. Well, he didn't trust people who smiled too much. There's no telling. At the end of it, they were putting their life in danger because the locals had all the authority. If Antioch had not been there, the next city might not have been there. But they took that challenge, and then they took another. And bravely, after day of being there under the yoke, answering the call, and being service, and having a humble heart, being there for your neighbors, they were able to take the steps that led them into places where they eventually met their teacher's fate. I mean, that was how challenging they were prepared and how far they were prepared to go. Examine yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5-9. Examine yourselves. See whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves? that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. But we pray to God that you may not do wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, because again, that would have been your neighbor. They're looking at themselves. So not that we would appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, because they care. Though we may seem to have failed, for we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. I want to close this with the fifth line of Galatians 6, 1 through 5. For each will have to bear his own load. Your load, your comparison, that challenge which you have been put to, that's between you and God. The part that's there for us as a family, as a body, is to be there for one another, to constantly support and teach and challenge the people around us to be better. You're not, and it says so in Romans, you're not supposed to do direct comparisons between yourself and others, it's particularly between a person who's strong in the faith and a person who's weak in the faith, because, and it says, because he may have come away with something else, something which you may need to be noticing, you may need to be taking seriously. You don't know that other person. And so, again, with the wisdom of the gospel, continue teaching, continue supporting. Just do a quick prayer. Dear God, please thank you for this opportunity to reach out to people. Please help me and assist me. And thank you for not letting me any too much of a large error there. Please allow people to take this word and use it to your betterment and to your will. Thank you for this opportunity again in Jesus Christ's name.